Well, if you could open up your Bibles with me to Psalm chapter 37. We get a great distinction within this psalm, and I know it's a favorite of many of us. It's my wife's favorite passages within this chapter. But it begins to give us direction in not to fret or to become hot and angry because of those that are doing wrong, or to be envious towards them. In verse 1, why in verse 2? Because they wither quickly like the grass, fade like the green herb. There's nothing that really endures or lasts. You know, a number of years ago, we bought the house that we're in now, and I move in, and if you were to go on some of the real estate websites, it still has one of the pictures from when we moved in, and the lawn is all nice and perfect. It was just St. Augustine. It was perfect. I go, I actually have a nice lawn for the first time. Move into there. Within weeks, sections of the lawn just started dying, like in succession down there. I could stand at the window and go, I think I'm watching it dying right now. I can see it. That one wasn't brown a second ago. And it's been a collection of all sorts of grass since then. But as I began to look at that, you go, why would I want to begin to tie my hopes to something that's just going to begin to fade away and die? And we have the great direction as you go into verse 3 that we have another option than beginning to invest in and trust in and begin to allow our affections to draw towards those things that just don't endure and last, which is really any pursuit outside of Christ. It tells us in verse 3, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. You have an aspect of that trust of really beginning to put our hope and to wait in the Lord, to have great confidence and just a sense of safety and stability in this, and to do good, that which will actually have eternal value and begin to endure. He says to dwell in the land and to cultivate faithfulness. That cultivate is just a great word, because it begins to bring in the sense of caring and nurturing, not only in an agricultural sense, but even in beginning to care for a flock. And you see just this desire to just go, okay, God, I'm going to care for those things that last that you've given me in my life. He goes on, he says, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, just to begin to have all of your joy set in him. What a wonderful picture, what a wonderful place to be, that you're just going to find your joy in the Lord alone. And it says he will give you the desires of your heart. What's the desire of our heart? Begins to be those things that would endure, those things that would last, those things of real value. Not the grass that begins to wither and fade, not the things that don't endure. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will do it. Bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. You won't even see it coming. It's that picture of the noonday. It's just going to surprise us in these things. I wanted to call up Donald. He didn't know it. I didn't tell him. But he might have had a hint, because this was a passage you kept coming back to as we met the other day.
Which one?
In discipleship, in Psalm 37. Delighting yourself in the Lord. And I was asking you some questions, checking in on you. You've been teaching with the 4 to 7s, the little guys and gals in the first service. And Miss Kim Phelps is getting ready to be on a trip for a little over a month. And I was just checking on you with kind of taking the lead and teaching in that. And we were really reflecting back on some things over this past year and some change. And I know there were certain desires on your heart, and I'll let you kind of share, but you really had a desire in your heart to want to care for souls and someone to begin to care for and invest in, and maybe just share kind of your heart with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so from a young age, I really desired to have a family. And I remember, like, you'd ask me what I wanted to do. I said, you know, I'd like to be a dad, or I'd like to be a husband. And you know, life goes on, and you know, as I get older, you know, there were different discouragements that had happened through my life. And I remember sitting down thinking through, like, all right, you know, why are these desires like, why are they so strong? Why do I want them like so badly? And one day I just got real with God, and you know, I was praying through it, and he revealed that, you know, the desire was just to kind of care for somebody. And that has to be God in you, because nobody, you know, would have that desire, you know, walking in the flesh. But I just like with the kids, like I want somebody that, you know, from the very start, that you can know that God loves you, and you can know that you have a purpose, and you can know that there is this thing called salvation, and what a wonderful gift it is. And thinking through like a wife, like is somebody you get to sacrifice for, somebody you get to care for, somebody you get to show God's love to, and these are all people you get to protect and point to Christ. And yeah, as I really began to kind of think through those desires, you know, God had revealed to me that while I was teaching the kids, these were things that he had already given me. And, you know, I had this class that, you know, I could treat these kids as if they were my own, and pointing them to Christ and loving them and realizing like these are souls that are one day going to become adults. And, you know, the love and the care that they receive now is going to affect them for eternity. And, you know, I just broke down crying, because just what a wonderful gift that I realized that God had already given me. And, you know, I was so focused on my own desires, or trying to get those things
the way I thought it needed to be,
yeah, that I was completely missing it. And if you're struggling today with the desires of your own heart, or if you're wanting to do things your way, or you feel like God's not quite just giving you what you desire, like, I encourage you to take a step back and really, really evaluate, are you pursuing his kingdom? Because if you are, you are going to have those things awarded to you. Like with this church, like, I have people to sacrifice for, I have people to love, I have people to point to Christ, you know, and it's all real and it's all genuine. You know, all these things God puts in your heart, and he can even put them in your heart from a young age, and he will give them to you, but you need to take the first step in putting him first. And that's what I needed to do. And so,
yeah. And you and I were kind of reflecting back, and you had gone into there to begin with, and there was kind of a need. Ms. Kim's class had changed a little bit in dynamic. I think she had just a couple of young girls, and then all of a sudden there was 7, 8, and they were pretty young. Some boys mixed in. It was a pretty active, energetic group. And so we were really in need for somebody to go in and just come alongside Kim and help to kind of get them established into that class. And we came to you, and you go, I'll go in there.
Yeah, it's not like me, because I hate talking in front of people. Like right now, my heart is pitter-patting, and like I never kind of saw myself in that position. But right when the opportunity came up, like I was sitting down on my couch, and I was reading through the Bible, and then you know the call came in, and you know I knew I needed to do it, because I could feel, you know, God tugging on me too. And some different things had happened kind of around that time. I think that was before Christmas VBS. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't supposed to be there for Christmas VBS, but, you know, some different things had happened. Now I was pretty dejected, and, you know, plans changed. So I was actually able to make it, praise God. And there was another opportunity where they needed to kind of have the kids' attention occupied for a little bit. And, you know, I was standing right there, and then my dad's like, well, Donald, go share your testimony. I just happened to be standing there, and out of three people, and I was the one he picked. I hate talking in front of people, but, I knew something had changed, because, you know, usually I'd sit there and get all anxious and stuff. I said, no, I'm just going to trust God. I'm just going to take that step. And right now, like, I'm tearing up, I teared up in front of those kids, just sharing my testimony, but walking away, like, I knew I did what God was telling me to do. And those were the beginning steps of putting him first in my life, is whenever God's calling you to do something, just go do it. And understanding what that trust felt like, it just becomes easier and easier and easier to take those steps of faith. Because once you do, the confidence comes in. It doesn't happen till you take that step of faith. So if you're going in and you're worried, or you're going in and you're thinking about all the bad things that are going to happen, it's not you're not going to get to feel that peace if you'll just take that step and trust him. Not only will you get the desires of your heart, but he'll, like in Jeremiah, he'll give you the words to say. If you'll be dismayed in front of the people, then you'll be dismayed. But if you'll walk and trust in Christ, he will give you the words to say, and it will be his power. And so, you know,
you just made up your mind with the Lord that you were just going to trust him, do good, cultivate faithfulness. And I remember it was so neat as we're talking.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And then right after that, Miss Kim Phelps had to go on a vacation, and then I had to go do it by myself. And that gave me another opportunity to trust God. And yeah. And now I get an opportunity to trust him for 5 weeks.
But you were just going in and go, okay, Lord, this is a door you've opened outside of the comfort zone in some ways, but just going to go in and do good, wait on the Lord. And it was almost like you began to reflect back, and you weren't even necessarily actively thinking about those desires on your heart, because you were just trusting him and wanting to do good, wanting to serve where the Lord gave opportunity. And you began to reflect back and go, God, you gave me those desires on my heart, and just began to fill you up in that way. I just thought it was a great testimony of just that step of trusting the Lord, being faithful where he has you, and then watching the fact he knew all along the desires that were on your heart. Mm-hmm. And he filled them in a way that actually lasts. And you were telling me you began to see those kids, there was a relationship built there. You were telling me that they started running up to you, and there was a bond the Lord started to make.
Yeah, I understand. I'm not the nicest teacher at times, but you know, they still.
But the Lord's allowing that heart to show through. Thanks, pal. We can invest and we can pursue those things that won't last. But if we'll just trust him, if we'll just begin to do the good that he begins to set in front of us, God knows the desires that are on our heart. He sees the longing for those things that will actually bring real joy, that will actually endure, and he's faithful to complete that work. So shall we pursue those things that are going to actually endure? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you today, we just thank you for, Lord, knowing us far better than even we know ourselves. And Lord, you begin to bring things into our life to make us long for that which is going to last, that which is going to have real value, that which is going to begin to knit us closer to you. So Lord, we thank you for the times of just being able to step back and, Lord, say, we're going to just trust you with this. We're going to wait on you. Lord, we thank you for the opportunities you give that we get to step forward and to just do that which is good and virtuous in your sight. We get an opportunity and a privilege to begin to serve as a part of this family. Lord, we thank you for just keeping your promises. We give you and you alone the thanks and praise today. In Jesus' name, amen.